Well, praise the Lord. Let's pray. The Bible instructs us that, first of all, we ought to pray for leaders and those who are in authority over us. And I don't care who the president is or who the president-elect is. I'm praying for them because the Bible promises us that if we pray for them, we will have a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Amen? So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for watching over this church and this body. I thank you, Father, for blessing every individual here. Father, we just lift up right now President Obama, and we thank you, Father, for keeping he and his family and his girls safe these last 8 years, and we continue to bless them and speak protection over them, Father, in Jesus' name. And we speak protection over President-elect Donald Trump and his wife and family, God. We just thank you that you're watching over them. You're setting angels round about them to keep them safe and to guard them. Now, Father, we just ask right now this morning that you would open our hearts, that we just declare right now that my heart is open, my mind is receptive, and I'm a willing participant in receiving of the Word of God this morning. I thank you, Father, that you help me to declare with all boldness your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it was funny. It's not funny that there was an earthquake, but there was an earthquake. Was it last week or the last week before that in Tulsa, Oklahoma? And we have some friends that pastor churches there. And one of them said, you know, it was right as they were praying, having pre-service prayer, and they were praying for boldness. And there was an earthquake. And they said it was just like out of the book of Acts. We were praying for boldness, and then the earth shook. They didn't instinctively know that it was an earthquake right away, which is, you know, the kind of funny, ironic thing about that. All right. Well, last week we started talking about righteousness. We'll just brief preview on that. Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Talked about righteousness, and that the Word of God declares in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Well, I'll go ahead and open it with you. I've got it written down here, but for he, God, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Not to be a sinner, which is somebody who commits wrongdoing, but to be sin. That original sin that was brought in the Garden of Eden, of rebellion against God, that brought death and the curse to all mankind. Jesus took on that sin. Okay? For us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when we read that, the thing that we need to understand is that I am no longer associated with sin and the curse. Jesus took that for me so that I might become the righteousness of God. Does anybody have a translation that reads differently than that? That says that you could become sometimes the righteousness of God, or you could become 60% righteous and 40% sin. Is there a translation that says that? No, because when you're the righteousness of God, you are just as righteous as God is. Just like Adam and Eve were in the garden. God came with them and walked with them and he fellowshiped with them in the garden on an equal basis. He didn't treat them as less. We've talked about this before. In Psalms, it says, the angel speaking to God, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, that you should create him a little lower than Elohim? The translators were kind of insecure when they were translating that because they translated the word Elohim into angels, that you've made him a little lower than angels. And see, the problem is that you never, if you never open your Bible and you never open a concordance and find out what some words mean, you're going to think you're lower than angels. But you're not. The word Elohim is the word God creator. There is none other besides him. He is Elohim. It is that righteousness that we were created in the garden. When God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let them have authority over all that we've made. Over all that has been created, let them have authority. So angels didn't have authority over creation. Hebrews says that they're all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. They don't have authority over you. Now, if you've been in on Thursday, you'll understand who Lucifer is, what happened in the garden, and that he's just an angel. He doesn't have some great grandiose authority or great power like unto God. He has your authority that God gave you. So when we partake then again of his righteousness through Jesus Christ, we have that righteousness again that was in the garden. It would be really easy to steer off into authority right here, wouldn't it? Again, we're going to say you are not unholy. You are not unworthy. Seldom would a man die for someone he loves, much less would someone die for someone unworthy. That's what Paul said. Jesus isn't coming to die for someone unworthy. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us so that he could make us the righteousness of God again. You are the very righteousness of God. What is righteousness? I said last week it's rightness, being right with God, or innocent. You're innocent. You're innocent before God. Innocent. Every evil thing you ever thought you did, every evil thing you ever thought, every contrary thing you ever did, God looks at you now through the blood of Jesus and says, you're innocent and righteous. That's big. Okay, so let's get on to today because we don't want to take a lot of time with rehashing. In Hebrews, let's look at Hebrews 12. We started to get into Hebrews 12 last week. Here's one of those really important things to remember. I can be in church for 20 years. Let's see, I came back to the Lord. It was March 31st, 1996. No, March 29th, 1996. It was March 29th, 1996. And so that's 20 years ago. So let's say I could have been born again, or recommitted my life to Jesus, because I was born again as a child, but I never denounced him. I just went and did my own thing. I lived like the world. Okay? 1996, I come back to the Lord. I have a glorious experience with him. Fire rushes through me. I see this my eyes are closed, and I see this happening. Fire rushing through me, and then water coming up out of me. Well, Jesus said, out of your innermost being will come rivers of living water, right? He says, fire burns away the chaff, right? Well, I had a lot of chaff, didn't I, Dad? I got to tell you, you know, if your kids are like I was at that point, they don't get to be friends with my kids, okay? Because I was a really bad influence, which is odd because in 1976, 20 years before that, and now you're going to find out how old I am. Most of you know anyway. I was Pioneer of the Year for my Royal Ranger Troop. Isn't that funny? I mean, you could be all just right exactly in the good place when you're a kid, depart from it, but still come back. Can I suggest that it's better to not depart? It's so much better not to depart. Hebrews chapter 12. But you have come, verse 22 of chapter 12, Hebrews. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, or the feastal gathering. That's in reference, actually, to the feast of God, a feastal gathering. There are specific seasons in the Hebrew calendar, specific dates when you're supposed to gather together as one assembly in Jerusalem. Okay? So that's a reference to that. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Listen, are you a child of the firstborn? Are you a child of God?
Yes.
I got news for you. You're registered in heaven. And it's not like just registering for gifts. for a wedding or for a birthday or a bat mitzvah or something like that. I mean, you're registered, honey. Your name is on the book. You're in the pages of the Lamb's Book of Life. You're written down there. Your name is there. They're expecting you. Should you die and leave your body before Jesus returns, they're expecting you. You got a good place to go between now and then. Amen? You're registered. Hallelujah. I love being registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. God is judge of all. But I call him Father. Why? Because Jesus said, now I ascend to my Father and your Father. He's no longer, I've come under the judge. I've done that. Through Jesus Christ, I came to the judge and I said, I confess I'm guilty. I receive forgiveness. I've been judged. That's, other than the judging myself daily that I'm supposed to do on whether I'm walking right with God or not, I don't go before the great white throne of judgment. I'm seated on the throne with my Father and all those that have been made right with God. Yes. Let me add in here. If you have a friend who has political differences than you, let it go. Because if they're one with you in Christ, let it go. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of higher things than that of Abel. Last week, what we said about that, if you remember, is that the blood of Jesus speaks higher things because the blood of Abel spoke, I was innocent and I was killed. Jesus' blood says, I was innocent, now you are too. My blood makes you innocent. That's right. My blood on the mercy seat declares you're innocent before the judge. You don't have to get up and defend yourself. You're innocent. Your attorney stands up and says, you're innocent. You don't have to get up and defend yourself. You know, actually, we touched on this in 1 John 1:9. If any of you has sinned, let him come boldly and ask the Father for forgiveness, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if you have sinned and you ask for forgiveness, the unrighteousness that has been committed has been removed. What's remaining if all unrighteousness has been removed? Righteousness. What kind of righteousness? God's. His righteousness. He took your sin and gave you his righteousness. Can you get any more righteous than Jesus? Can God make you less righteous than he is in the process of making you righteous with him as he is with his righteousness? Well, I followed it. Apparently, that's not all that's important. If God has declared you are innocent and given you his righteousness, are you less righteous than he is? Are you less innocent than he is? Does the blood of Jesus cleanse us from all unrighteousness? I mean, if the Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, who are you to hold on to some and say, well, I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough. You'd sing your song, I'm not good enough. No, sing your song, I'm made righteous with God. I am righteous as he is righteous. I'm as innocent as he is innocent. He took your sin. We're going to hound on this because I still see faces going. He has taken your sin, the thing that separated you in the beginning from God, the thing that made you feel separate from God, the thing that made you feel like you had to do something to get right with God. Well, if I just am good enough, if I can do these good works, if I can do these good service, if I can give all that I have to the poor, Paul said you can give all that you have to the poor, but without the love, you're a sounding brass and clanging cymbal. What love? The love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. See, when you're born again, God declares his righteousness and puts his love in your heart. if his love is in your heart, whose love do you have? God's love. You have his righteousness. You have his love. You have the ability to walk in peace with everybody. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. See, we're just going to get this. We are just going to get this. Let's start in verse 15. 1 John 4:15. Whoever, are you whoever? Yes. I mean, if it says whoever, does it exclude somebody that maybe lives in Pollock Pines? Does it exclude somebody with your last name or your heritage? Your political views? Your social views? Your financial status? No, it just says whoever. Whoever. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. The word abide means to live together. But not just to live together, like maybe roommates live together, or you might live together with several other people in an apartment building. But to abide means to be vitally joined. If you confess that Jesus is Lord, he is vitally joined together with you, abiding with you, and you in God. If he is abiding in you, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God, the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected in among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Read with me. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Again, as he is, so are we, so am I, in this world. As he is, so am I in this world. This is a hard pill for people to swallow. As he is, not when I get to heaven, and maybe I have a little cabin on the outskirts of heaven, just, you know, close enough that, you know, at least I made it in. No. You're not going to have just a... Personally, I like the little cabin on the edge of the wilderness, on the edge of the woods. Doesn't it? But as he is, so am I in this world. In this world. Right now, in this world. Right now. In this world. In this world, as he is, so am I. As he is, in this world, so am I. And the big deal here is the love issue. If you've been made righteous, and he has shed his love abroad in your heart, Romans 5, I think it's 5:11. His love has been shed abroad in our hearts. He is love. God is love. He dwells, abides in us. Then I have love. I can walk with in peace with other people. I don't have to argue with people. You know, one of our pastors, man, I'm telling you what, this is the thing that'll set you free. Just because you're right doesn't mean you have to be. Just because you're right doesn't mean you have to be. You can be right and not have to be right. You can be right and not have to be right. I have had to ask God on many occasions, I don't understand why a person would believe like this or a person would believe like that. And I ask him to show me. And every time, he shows me why. So I can walk in love with people. I can be right all day long. God is always right. He's never wrong. But does he ever condemn you? No. Neither then shall I. The woman caught in the very act of adultery. Well, where are your accusers? Well, there are none. They all left. Well, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. Jesus didn't come to condemn people. He came to love people. Can I tell you, I have been following a number of different people on Twitter and Facebook, people that, you probably, most people would say, I can't believe you follow that kind of person. Well, do you know what they think and what they believe? And I follow a number of people, people even that I disagree with, because I like to know what other people are thinking, what other people are saying. Well, I follow this one guy. He started this big movement in Virginia. It's called Gays for Trump. Well, why? I want to find out. I want to know. You know what I'm saying? I just want to know. I'm telling you what, this guy's more committed to what he believes than most people are committed to what they believe. Well, but he's gay. So what? God still loves him. God wants him to get right. You know what he said? He said, I have more friends in the Christian world that support me and encourage me than I did before I decided I didn't like what ISIS was doing. Do you know he switched? He had been a Democrat. He decided he didn't like that ISIS would just toss gay people off of buildings because they were gay. I don't like that either. Do you think that somebody should be tossed off a building just because of something that they believe or something that they do? Well, no. And that's because you've got the love of God in you. Someone says, I just hate my mother-in-law. No, you don't. Honey, you got the love of God on the inside of you. You don't hate your mother-in-law. You might not agree with her all the time, right? I'm just saying. Because I could look at other people. I could look at other people that I know that they, you know, maybe they don't, you know. I love my mother-in-law. I love my father-in-law. I do not always agree with them. I do not always get along with them. But you know what trumps? Love. Every single time. I love them. I have the love of God on the inside of me. They are the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. How dare I be cruel or mean to them? Oh, I could really stir the pot. I do, don't I? Well, you know, Jesus came and he really stirred the pot, didn't he? I mean, he came and he said, I like that precisely. I mean, Jesus comes and, you know, and people say, well, what would Jesus do? And they just want you to submit and be kind and just get along with everybody. Well, you know, it's not outside the realm of possibility that he might call you a whitewashed sepulcher full of dead men's bones. Or refer to you as, you know, being of your father the devil. Or knock over your entire way of dealing with things financially. What? It's not outside the realm of possibility. Jesus knocked things up a bit. He really did. I mean, first he came, his mother was unwed. Okay. I talked a little bit before we started really with the message, and we already had this other message on complaining. But the thing with that is with Numbers 21, and the people of Israel are complaining against God, and their cure is to look at a brass serpent on a pole. Brass represents judgment. Okay? Brass represents judgment. The serpent represented sin and the curse. So they had to look upon the judgment of the curse to be healed from the snake bites. Jesus said, oh, I remember, it's John 3. Let's look at John 3. Just John 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Because John 3:16 is where we get our famous passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right? Let's look at verse 14 and 15 of that. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. When we look up at Jesus on the cross, we receive judgment on the curse. He took the judgment of the curse. When we look at him, we're looking at that same brass snake on the pole who took judgment for the curse for us so that we didn't have to take the judgment for the curse, which is death. He took our judgment. He became the curse for us. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. When we look to Jesus, who became sin and gave us his righteousness, we look at that same serpent who was the curse. He became the curse for us. He took on the curse for us. So we are no longer under the curse of sin. We are now imputed again with the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He is the serpent on the pole. See those people, they were complaining. Right? I mean, you think, well, complaining, well, you know, I'm just, you know, it's just a little bit of talk. No, it's complaining. Okay? Let's not complain. Okay? As children of God, let's try to avoid the complaining. Because whoever believes in him should not perish or die, but have eternal life. So when we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, no longer are we under that penalty of death. No longer does the bite of the curse, that snake that bit us, and put the venom that poisoned us in us. That venom of the curse has been removed. See, that's what happened. Those serpents in the wilderness came and they would bite the children of Israel. And they would, the curse, it was a type of the curse coming into them. It was poison and it was killing them. God told Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat it, you shall die. Right? That's a curse. He's not pronouncing a curse on them. He's telling them. Because he's not telling them, go eat it and take the curse. He's just telling them, this is what happens if you disobey me. Right? This is the ultimate in... We do this with our kids all the time. It's the ultimate, if you're going to complain, I'm going to give you something to complain about. You know what I'm saying? It's the ultimate. You want to complain? Here's something to complain about. But God has taken the curse. He's taken the venom from the bite of the curse, and he's removed it from us, reestablishing us in his righteousness. Are we getting this yet? Oh, Jesus was the curse on the pole. You have to look to that and recognize it, accept it, and understand it. That's why this is called the foolishness of the gospel. The foolishness of the gospel. I mean, really? So if I just believe and confess, no, there's got to be more to it than that. I used to hear people say it, and if once I get myself cleaned up some, right? Can you clean up enough to have somebody who's already cleaned you up? I mean, all you have to do is accept it. You can't clean yourself up enough. You have to come to the one who's already cleansed you and accept his cleansing. That's the only sin that'll keep you from heaven, is not accepting that. It's the only sin that keeps us separated from God, is not accepting that. If you have a brother or sister that you have ought against, you just talk to them about it. Don't complain, don't whine, don't gripe. Work it out. That's what Paul said. God is really big into this not complaining thing. Maybe I just spent too much time in cars with kids this weekend. I don't know, I'll tell you what, but they were really good at the car dealership, weren't they? But I mean, we went for a drive in our car, our new car yesterday, and we had to tell them several times, this is Mommy and Daddy's new toy. You have to let us play with it. Stop complaining. You know what I'm saying? We go and we go to McDonald's and get them ice cream, and then Josiah's ice cream breaks. Get a cup to put his ice cream in, and it's time to go. I don't want to go. I never get to have any fun. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, That if I could give everything I have to the poor, I could feed the homeless, I could do all the good works in the world, yet if I have not love, I am a clanging cymbal and chiming brass. Okay? We can't. There's not enough that we can do to make us not sound like brass and clanging instruments and, you know, kids in the kitchen with pots and pans and silverware and, I mean, that noise, ugh, you know what I'm saying? That's what it sounds like to him when we're trying to do it on our own. When we're trying to make it on our own, we sound like that clanging of with the spoons on the lids and the noise. That's what we sound like. That's what he says right here. You've been made righteous with God. Stop trying to please him. Now just start being like him. Act like him. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate God. We're to be imitators. I love this with Josiah. So I love, you see me today and I've got on a white t-shirt and the long sleeve shirt and jeans. And all the time he's like, he comes up, Daddy, is this okay? And he looks like me. You know, minus this, unless he's dressed like a pirate. He comes out and he's got his boots on, he's got his jeans on, a t-shirt and his open long sleeve shirt. He looks like me. What's he doing? He's imitating me. Well, we're to imitate our Heavenly Father in the same way. We've been made righteous with him. I said last week, you know, I can walk into my dad's house. I walked in the other day and I opened up the cabinet. I said, oh, I thought their Oreos were here. He said, no, I had some ants. They're in the refrigerator. Right, the cookies. Because ants don't live well in refrigerators. Did you know that? They don't. Well, I can walk into his house. He's been doing this thing and decorating his house. And, you know, if it's not an urgent thing, he doesn't do it right away. But he finally bought a bedspread. And so I went to pick him up and I walked into his bedroom. I'm like, yeah, I like that. That looks good. I said, you need a bedspread. He said, well, I've got one. It's just really hard to put on by yourself. So I told Kathy and she came in and she helped him put it on. But, you know, the thing is that I have right standing with my dad. I can just walk into his house. Even if he's not there, be in town, kids go, I have to. Oh, all right, well, let's go to Grandpa's house. You know, you can just go in. You can just go in. He's your father. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy in time of need. Anytime. Come boldly. 1 Corinthians 6:3 says that we will judge angels. How much more the things of this life? Well, you can't judge me. Well, honey, you know, I'm not judging you eternally, but I can tell you, I can look at my kids anytime. No, what you did was wrong. You know, if you see someone in sin, let them know. That's what we're told to do. If you see someone sinning a sin not to death, tell them. In love, with graciousness, the way you'd want someone to tell you. You know what I'm saying? We're going to judge angels. How much more the things of this life? 1 John 3:1 says, what manner of love has the Father bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God? Listen, he is proud to call you son. He's proud to call you daughter. He's proud. Not in a prideful, you know, vainglorious way, but he's proud of you. He's proud of you. My kids, you know, you've got kids, you know, they do stupid stuff. Do you stop loving them? Do you stop caring for them? Do you stop looking at their lives and think, I wish that they'd fix this, or I could see that their life would be better if they'd do that? Well, he's the same way. He wants us to make the right choices. But he's not any less proud of us. Look at my parents. You know, we reached a point where I wasn't allowed to their house. Okay, you know what I'm saying? There was a point I wasn't allowed to their house. Okay? I was messed up. Y'all, I was messed up. But when I said I want to change, man, that door opened right up. Just like the prodigal son. the parable of the prodigal son. He said, at least in my father's house, if I become a servant, at least his servants have it better off than I do now. He's waiting. He's not got the... Josiah lost it. I had a big orange baseball bat that I'd keep in my office. Just to remind me, the first few months I was here, God doesn't want to hit me over a baseball bat if I mess up. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. He loves me. When we mess up, he loves us. He's waiting there for us to correct us. I've told this story before. We were... The Lord had told us that we were going to have a son and to name him Josiah. And a couple years went by, and we lost a baby after that. And I was vacuuming the stairs, and he said, I want to talk to you. Not in an audible voice, but I'm vacuuming the stairs. And I hear him in my heart. He said, I want you to put that down and come talk to me. Okay? So I put the vacuum down. I'm like, yes, God wants to talk to me about something. My father wants to talk to me. So I go and I sit down. He says, your words have been harsh against me. Oh. Okay. He said, you keep saying it's hard for us to get pregnant and it takes a long time for us to get pregnant. But then you keep praying and believing for me for that son. He said, you've got to change your words. Have I talked about words in here before? The importance of words, a seed? He said, your words have been harsh against me. You know, I didn't immediately turn to him and say, how dare you say something like that to me? My goodness, that's so offensive. No, because I have my big boy pants on. So I'm not easily offended. And I said, okay. And I told Kathy, and I felt like, because I was, really the propagator of this harsh words against God. And again, we're really against our situation. I really felt, I was impressed how Peter repented three times. So I repented three times. And within the next month, we went out to dinner with my friend Teresa, who was here. It was her birthday. And we went out to sushi. And Faith's all excited. She thinks she's really going to like sushi. And she really did not like sushi. So we got her some of this teriyaki boat kind of stuff with tempura, and she still did not like that. She did not like the strong flavors. And we go home, and I'm downstairs, and Kathy comes to the top of the stairs. She says, I'm pregnant. I'm like, what? She's like, I took a test. I'm like, why? It's not even time. And I went out and ate sushi. And she's like, well, I thought I might be. And I said, and you went out and ate sushi anyway? Do you know that that's harmful? This was literally our conversation. It was literally our conversation. So within a month, but I'm telling you. Got to eat your sushi first before you're pregnant. It's like, I think I might be pregnant. I better go get those highlights now. Because you can't do it when you're pregnant. See, I tattle on myself. Why? Because I mess up too. That was in July. This was August 6th. It was Teresa's birthday. Now we have Josiah. How fast that situation turned around because I changed my attitude. We change our attitude. God will help work things out. Why? Because you're his child. Because he loves you. Because you have right standing with him. There is nothing in this world you can do except turn your back on him and say, I want nothing to do with you ever again. And walk away from him. I never said that to him. And I've shared this testimony before. I had gone to visit my parents and I was living in sin, man. And I had gone to visit my parents and I came back. And I was miserable. And I was in my room in my apartment. And this voice spoke to me on the inside. And he said, speak in tongues. And I thought to myself, I haven't done that in years. I don't know if I can even do that. I mean, I haven't even been walking with God. Again, speak in tongues. I did. I spoke in tongues. Man, I knew then that God was still with me. What I had been doing, the way I had been living my life, the crap that I had done. And he was still with me. That he still loved me. That changed everything. When you understand that God loves you, no matter what you've done, he just doesn't give up. I will never give up on my own children. I know. I know, right? We never give up, huh? We never give up on our children, no matter what happens. God is your heavenly Father, and he will never give up on you. And he is touched by the feelings of our infirmities, and he knows what troubles us, and he will help us through those things too. That is something that every person in here has in their corner as an advantage. With them is God. Doesn't matter what you did, if everybody in the world knows or if nobody knows. You know what I'm saying? He is still there for you. He is your advocate. 1 John 2:1. Some of my favorite writing comes from the Apostle John. My little children, these things, and you can always think, because he's writing this from his heart, the heart of God, okay? So listen to this as though it's God speaking to you. My little children, these things I have to say to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You have an advocate. If we mess up, we have an advocate. What is an advocate? It's a legal term. He's your attorney. He's the one who stands and says, no, this one is mine. They belong to me. They are cleansed with my cleansing. They are righteous with my righteousness. You have nothing in them. He is our advocate. He's the one who and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Remember propitiation. It's the Greek word for mercy seat, which is that seat, that place between the two cherubs on the top of the Ark of the Covenant that was in the temple. And there is where God would come and he would sit when Moses came into the tabernacle. And he sat on the mercy seat after the sprinkling of blood, and he would talk with him. Well, there's been the sprinkling of blood. If I say God talks to me, that means he can talk to you too. He's no respecter of persons. He wants to talk to you. He has plenty to say. Do you know he likes to talk? It's written that if everything that Jesus had said were written down in books, the world could not contain them. I'm in good company. Jesus likes to talk. I like to talk. Hey, there you go. I'm imitating Jesus, Dad. That is, exactly. Hebrews 7:25. Of course, that's his excuse now too, right? 7:24 and 25. And then we'll wrap up. We'll be done for today. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Save to the uttermost. The uttermost. In other words, can you reach out as far as you can to the uttermost? To the uttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. To the uttermost, he's completely and forever making intercession, which is actually a legal term that you'd hear in a court. He would declare in interceding, not on his knees praying, but standing ever before the throne of God. declaring. No. She's righteous. No. He's innocent. He's innocent. He's innocent. If he's forever, to the uttermost always, declaring you innocent, stop calling yourself a sinner. Stop declaring yourself unworthy. Stop saying, I'm not worth it. I'm not valuable. Because he's forever telling the Father that you are. Now he says in Revelation, are they not all priests and kings? Are they not all kings? He says he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. King of what kings? All kings. Who's a king? A ruler. King of kings, Lord of lords. You are a king. You have authority in this world. You are a lord, right? I tell Kathy, I said, well, you know, Sarah used to call Abraham Lord, and she said, it is not going to happen. I said, but I'm even the father of faith. It is not going to happen. I'm not calling you Lord. But Jesus calls you a king. You are a king under him. You are a Lord under him. With him and in him and under him, you are a king and a Lord. Do not let the world king over you and lord over you. Do not let the devil king over you and lord over you. You have been made a king unto the Lord Most High. You've been made a priest unto God. We sit together with him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. You've done so much more. So much incredibly more than we could have ever possibly imagined. We ask, Father, that you would help us to be who you've called us to be. The righteous sons and heirs of God Most High, our Heavenly Father. You've made us all to be kings and priests. You call us lords over creation. And we bless you, Father. We thank you, Father. And we honor you today. And I just speak the blessing of God over every person here. And I declare that they walk in the very righteousness and love of God. Everywhere they go and in all things they do. In Jesus' name, amen.